Hey everybody, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This week we have no guest. It's just me on the microphone this week. Charlie, why don't you have a guest? Well, perhaps I screwed up the schedule, but I'll just say, we needed a break to, recalculate, gather our emotional security and move forward more productively. What happened? I'll give you a little, I'm going to use this time to give everybody just a little bit of catch up on what's going on with Cripes Inc. So actually, I don't even know if anybody knows this except for me, but when you kind of do what we're doing, you have to make it into an actual business. And when they were like, what do you want to call your business? I was like, well, can we call it Cripes Inc.? And they were like, I suppose you could. So now everyone who works for me has to put Cripes Inc. on their resumes. So yeah, they'll be able to get another job for sure. So what can we talk about? So this past weekend, I was in Nashville, which that's kind of the big reason I don't have a guest today, because kind of everything in my life got put into stand-up comedy mode. I haven't really done stand-up comedy since the pandemic in any huge capacity. I certainly haven't done a new show yet. But going down to Nashville, excuse me, Charlie, is that COVID? No, it's not COVID. And I did this bit in the stand-up set. You cannot have a cough these days. You can't have a cough, okay? It's illegal to have a cough. You can't just go into Walgreens and cough. You can't do a little allergy cough, which is what I got. I got an allergy cough, okay? You can't do it. Everyone just assumes you have COVID, but I've been tested a bunch recently. I've gotten the shots, so Bill Gates knows exactly how many Fleet Farms I've been to. It's a little embarrassing, okay? But no, I don't have COVID, but try explaining what I just told you to everybody you see in the toothbrush aisle at Walgreens. It's a problem. Anyway, so yeah, I was focusing a lot of attention on trying to get, my stand-up together, and it's tough as a stand-up comedian and this will be good for any of you stand-ups out there in the audience or people interested in stand-up comedy. The big thing you want to do is test your stuff before you go to a big club like Zany's in Nashville. Now, Zany's in Nashville is one of the best clubs in the country, in my opinion. Zany's is a comedy club. It started in Chicago. And that's one of the oldest comedy clubs is Zany's in Chicago. So anyway, now they got Zany's Nashville. Fantastic club. And, I really wanted to show up to that room. The folks who got tickets for that show bought tickets well over a year ago when the show was originally scheduled. And then we had to reschedule like a couple times due to COVID rates not being where they were. So anyway, we did three socially distanced shows. Or as socially distanced as Nashville gets, but we weren't full capacity and they went great. I was super lucky. I felt awesome to just be up doing stand-up again and having new bits work, There were a couple that didn't work. There were a couple that bombed, but it's tough when you're trying to do comedy and prepare for that. Typically, historically, what you do as a comedian is you go to a bunch of open mics in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York. Those are where a lot of hot pockets of open mics, but the nice hot pockets. Okay. You're an idiot, Charlie. But there are a lot of open mics in Milwaukee, but I just hadn't been going to them with, the pandemic and all that sort of stuff. So I kind of was flying a little blind. There was a little bit of is this material going to work? It did work. I was excited about that. We do have some more stand-up shows coming up. What do we have? The Minneapolis Comedy Festival. That's next month. We'll see if that's officially going to go, but it certainly looks like it. The Outagamie County Fair. Yeah, we got that in Seymour, Wisconsin on July 24th. So that'll be fun. And tickets for those, if you're interested, are mandwalkman.com. Although I think Minneapolis is sold out. Not sure, though. Charlie, you're really good at the business portion of your job. I'll tell you what. So, yeah, so been doing stand-up. So nice to get back out there. Next week, actually, we're doing a show, Marquette University. I don't know if this is public yet, so maybe I shouldn't say it. No, it's got to be public. It's a week from today. Roy Wood Jr. is going to be there. Sasheer Zamata, both amazing comedians. I'm lucky to be on the same stage as them. So I'm just excited to, get back out there and keep doing this stand-up comedy deal. Okay, so that's the stand-up portion of my life. How about the video portion, Charlie? What's going on? What'd you put out this week? Well, we did, First Time First Mate, which I just had so much fun filming. We did this in partnership with Sitka Salmon Shares, which is a sustainable, you know, very eco-conscious fishing thing. And well, you know, because I had Nick Mink on the Cripes Cast a few weeks back. Well, a few weeks, geez Louise, a few months back. Back in the fall. Wow, that was a long time ago. Boy, time flies like a arrow, you know, and fruit flies like a banana. Nick is a great guy. He started Sitka Salmon Shares with Marsh. You know, they are partners in that, and they invited us. We've been partners with them for the past year, and excuse me, there's that non-COVID cough again. Anyway, they invited us up to Alaska, up to Sitka, to go out on a fishing vessel and, you know, get a feel for what it was like doing this sort of commercial fishing. We had our skipper, Eric Jordan, who was absolutely amazing, and he put up with a lot of stuff. We were basically shooting it. You know, when we do these first-time videos, we did this with first-time cranberry grower, too. It's the game, the comedic game is like fish out of water. So obviously that tends to work best if I'm kind of like an idiot in the video. And it's more of a method acting choice, too. You know, that way I don't need to actually act. I can just, you know, be myself, because I have not done any commercial fishing. Not at all. So any of the, you know, I've caught bass. And I've caught a lot of bass, and not to brag or anything, I've caught walleyes too, ton of perch, but king salmon, nope, haven't done that. You know, doing any actual work on a boat, not really my thing. I'm more of a have a couple 2-3 beers and throw the line in the water and see if you can't, you know, get some on the line. But mostly you're concerned about fishing beers out of the cooler. So when you're actually operating in this commercial capacity, which we weren't, we were more so scouting, and even that was tough work, the downriggers and everything like that, and just being on the ocean. And but I'll tell you, Alaska, holy smokes, that is a beautiful place. I'm a lucky son of a gun. That's all I got to say, just to be able to go out there. Sitka, Alaska. It's I said this to somebody, said this comparison, and they call me an idiot, but I'll say it to you just in case you disagree with them. Sitka's kind of like the Florida Keys of Alaska. And by that, I mean, you know, you got Juneau, which is sort of on the, you know, the mainland, and then there's a bunch of islands, and that's where I get the Florida Keys, like a bunch of islands off the coast of a state. Okay, that's where the comparison starts and ends. Anyway, Sitka's over there. Actually, history lesson, Sitka was like the Russian capital initially. You know, Russia owned Alaska, and then the U.S. bought it for some incredibly small amount of money back in the day. And Sitka was where Russia decided to put their capital, because it was, you know, very close to the open ocean, whereas Juneau's kind of inside all these islands, and you kind of got to weave your way through to get there. You're really going to want to check all those facts with somebody who knows what they're talking about, but that's kind of what I gather. Anyway, where am I going with this? Oh, yeah, it's just the most beautiful place, though. I mean, we were lucky to get there in spring. We were lucky to get there with a couple days of sunshine. And, oh, man, we went on this hike, which it felt like I was in a video game, because we went out with this woman, Heather, who was also on the boat with us. She's a conservationist in Alaska, and she took us on this guided tour of this. Well, she took us on a hike, basically. So it wasn't much of a guided tour. I mean, she was... You know what? I take that back. It was a guide tour, because she knew like all the plants and all the birds, and she was pointing them out, and we were like, oh man, we are way too hungover for all this information. But we went on this hike, and now the day before, now I'm just rambling, but you know, if you're still listening, yeah, you know, thank you. But the day before, we went out on a commercial fishing boat, or not a commercial, a sport fishing boat with Nick. And the guy who was driving that sport fishing boat was a big, tough guy. He was like, I would never go into the woods without bear spray. And Heather, cut to the next day, Heather was like, yeah, I forgot the bear spray, but we should be fine. I was like, wait, Heather should be fine? Oh my gosh. So we get into the woods, and she was doing this, I think, to make us feel better. She was going, hey, bear, bear, bear. Hey, bear. She's, you know, calling out to the bears, because if you talk to the bears, they go away. Basically, any sound they run away from. But it was a little disconcerting when she was, you know, saying this in a what sounded like a very friendly voice. If I were a bear, I'd be like, "Hey, Heather, what's going on? Oh, you all look very tasty." So, you know, I knew she was doing that for our protection, but terrifying. Anyway, it was very cool. We went through all these. This was like a Highland marsh or something. Charlie, will you Google this stuff before you put it on your podcast? I'll tell you where to Google it. If you Google what's like kind of a marsh in the tundra-ish area, there's a name for it. Starts with an M. I forgot. But anyways, incredibly beautiful. We passed forested areas, and then there were these clearings, and we walked around a lake, and I felt like every half hour we walked into a different level of a video game. And the objective of this video game was to not get eaten by a bear. We did not, luckily. But no, Sitka is, I don't know better word to describe it other than just magical. It's a magical place. The town center is cool. I mean, it's like you're just living in a movie set, you know, from the 1800s or something, because they've got these old time bars and an old time town square and all these ships in the harbor. It was just so cool. I can't recommend it enough. If you get an opportunity to go to Sitka, definitely do it. I'm so fortunate and thankful that we got to do that and experience that. So what else have I been working on? Oh, also, I wanted to let everybody know about this. I've been writing a book. I don't know if I mentioned that specifically on this podcast yet. I know I mentioned it on other social media stuff, but it's called The Midwest Survival Guide. And it's kind of cool. It's just a little bit of everything in the Midwest. It's kind of like a coffee table book, you know, or, you know, a book for the potty, you know. It's something nice. There's a lot of pictures in it. We've got this really cool section in the book, which I'm super excited about. It's the Midwest Art Gallery. So, you know, I've reached out to a bunch of artists across the Midwest to contribute to this. I asked for submissions. I've gotten some amazing submissions. I'm super, super excited about that, because I think the thing I'm having the hardest time doing in writing this book is, like, I know my experience with the Midwest, and that's in there, you know, and that's sheep's head, that's fishing, that's, you know, polka stuff, you know, all the things I parody and have fun with. But there's so much in the Midwest. There's so much diversity in the Midwest. And you know, by listening to this podcast, all the different voices and perspectives that we try to include. It's tough to include that, you know, in a book if the guy writing it is me. So I just tried to find a few different ways to incorporate other cultures. I'm definitely going to fall short on doing that, given that I can't adequately represent all these different perspectives. But one way I think has been very cool that we have been able to is this Midwest Art Gallery. So I've been going through submissions on that. And other than that, I've just been writing this book, which is probably another reason that we don't have a guest for the Cripescast this week. It's just been consuming a lot of time, but I think that's good. I think that'll make for a really good final product. I sure hope so anyway, but that book will be out in the fall. The thing is, though, these printers, you got to get everything together really soon, really quick, because the printing process takes a while. So anyway, it'll be out in the fall, and you can get it if you search on the old Google machine. Midwest Survival Guide will pop up. You can pre-order it on Amazon if you are interested. Otherwise, it'll be, you know, I'll announce it at other times as well. But so anyway, those are the basics of what's going on. I got to mow the lawn today. I got to get out there and do that. You know, I don't know if you can get fined from the city for having, basically I got the thing with my lawn where my lawn isn't really growing that fast, but the dandelions really are. So I got like a huge crop of dandelions going. And it's right on the portion, like, I'm in Milwaukee, so there's a sidewalk portion, you know, where, like, everybody walks by it. You know, there's your lawn, and then the sidewalk, and then the lawn by the street, and that lawn by the street just has all these dandelions. It looks real bad. So I think I'm pushing up against getting a fine from the city if I don't cut it, but I don't know if they do that here or not. I know some places do that, so we'll find out. I'm actually, you know what? I'm going to let them grow for a little bit longer. You know, I think maybe we'll give it another day. See if I get a love letter in the mail from the city about not keeping up with my lawn. No, I should cut it. Be a good neighbor, Charlie. Cut it. I got this sweet lawnmower, this electric deal. You know, and you just put a little battery in it. It's a Toro. Oh, geez, is that a plug for Toro? Sure. But you put that thing in and actually I'm in charge of it yet. So I'm a big fan of that thing, you know. Speaking of sponsors, I just want to mention our sponsors in this, even though it's not a normal podcast, but Jolly Good has been so cool, so supportive since we started doing the Cripescast, and they've been a great sponsor. You can get their stuff. They're in a bunch of stores these days, including Festival Foods. I think maybe they're going to be in the Quick Trip soon, but if they're not in a store, you can always ask the manager, hey, do you have Jolly Good? And what I like, you know, in all seriousness, what I like about Jolly Good is it's very local. It's a Wisconsin soda. So if you're outside of Wisconsin, you can, you know, support them online. But there aren't many places like that around these days. Just small, local, Wisconsin-owned businesses. And that's what I really like about them. So, you know, if you see them out there, definitely a good brand to support. Random Lake, Wisconsin. And the reason we started our partnership with Jolly Good, it happened pretty organically, as it kind of does with any, you know, brands or whatever that we work with. But it was in that old fashioned video that I did, like how to make a brandy old fashioned. And I always just use Jolly Good because like that's the soda we had around as a kid. So, you know, when I was first making old fashions, you know, you pick the Jolly Good Sour Power because you get, you know, brandy old fashioned sour. And so that's what I used for the video. And then they reached out. They were like, you know, do you have any ways we can help you? And I was like, well, geez, Louise, don't we now? We're starting this podcast. And they jumped on board. So they've been very supportive and I appreciate that. And I just want to show them some love. And also want to shout out Duluth Trading Company, which is Duluth's a solid place, man. I like Duluth, but it's not a Minnesota-based company. It's a Wisconsin-based company. So they're over there in Mount Horeb. That's one of their headquarters. So really cool company. I like their stuff. I actually wore a bunch of their clothes in Alaska. They have a few different brands under the Duluth umbrella. I wore the Alaskan hard gear and that's great stuff. It's comfortable, fits good. So definitely shout them out. They've been a great partner to us as well. Also, fun fact, Emily Ford, who was on the podcast, she's affiliated with Duluth in some way. And I like that about Duluth too. They're very committed to, you know, finding real people doing real stuff outdoors. And they use those people to help propel their brand. And I think that it's cool to see a company do that, you know, find people doing the thing and then say, oh, you're doing something we like, we're doing something we think you would like, you know, it's sort of an organic fit and an organic tie. It's been a real pleasure working with them. So shout out to them as well. Okay. So we are just about done, but I do want to mention, if you have any people that you recommend for the Cripescast, a lot of you have sent in, actually Emily Ford's a perfect example. Somebody saw that she was doing the Ice Age Trail hike and sent it to me on Twitter and they said you should have her on the Cripescast. And that is awesome when that happens. What I like about the Manitowoc Minute and, you know, our sketches and now the Cripescast is that so many of the ideas come from all of you and you're all just absolutely amazing fans. You're so supportive, very little negativity. But I like that these ideas come from you because, you know, I'm not an idea machine, but what I like doing is reflecting what's real and reflecting, you know, what you want to see. That's really how I view this is I just want to continue to bring things that all of you are interested in and maybe dive a little deeper into them. So anybody you recommend for this podcast would be super cool. I think we're going to get my grandma Sue on it, actually. I talked to her about that. She's like, Charlie, no one wants to hear me talk for an hour. It's like, you know what, Grandma Sue, that's where you're wrong, okay? You get her talking. She'll say some weird stuff. And that is what I want on the podcast. So yeah, I think we'll get my Grandma Sue on. And we've got a bunch of other great guests lined up. You will see them soon. Nobody I'm going to tease yet because you never know. And I won't promise anything and not deliver. Set the bar low. You can walk right over it. That is advice to live by. So with that, I just want to really thank all of you for helping support the Cripescast. By the way, those Grandpa Bob lures, the Grandpa Bob Tackle Box, we sold out of those. We actually just reordered some. And again, we're going to be donating a bunch of those proceeds to different organizations that help people who don't normally get out there fishing, go out fishing. We've got a couple locked in that we're donating to. So we will, I'll announce on this podcast how much we gave and all that sort of stuff. When I figure it out, I kind of get my stuff together with that. But it's really cool to see that, you know, love my Grandpa Bob. Many of you know he passed away a couple years ago, but he's, you know, he's a guy who got me hooked on fishing. And I think this tackle box is a cool homage to that. It's got a lot of his phrases in it. My Uncle Dave actually hit me up. He's like, I like the tackle box, but you forgot the phrase, don't horse them. And I need that. I need that on a lure. We'll have to do an updated tackle box to get don't horse them on there. But a bunch of the other lures say, like, ope, go Packers and F the Bears. Oh my gosh, Cripes all Friday. And keep her moving. And Charlie, did you write these phrases on the lures because the fish can read? Yes, absolutely. And if a fish sees an ope lure going through the water, you know they're going to want to chomp on that thing. So you can still get these. They're on cripescast.com or manswalkman.com. And again, part of the proceeds are going to go to these organizations. So I want to thank you all again for listening. I hope everybody has a great week. We'll be back in full force next week, but thanks for listening to this update. And everyone, keep her moving. Okay, and while you keep her moving, watch out for deer. And please tell your folks I says hi. Okie dokes. We'll talk to you soon. Real good. Bye-bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.